Elizabeth was a daughter of King Peter III of Aragon and of the saintly Constancia. She was born in 1271 and named after the holy Landgravine of Thuringia, the sister of her mother-in-law, of her grandmother. An angel of peace seemed to have come to the family with the birth of the child, because great joy over her birth reconciled her father and her grandfather, who had been living at variance with each other. Elizabeth combined great virtue with the most lovable qualities, so that her father sometimes remarked that it appeared this daughter would surpass all the women of the royal court in accomplishments. Prayer and severe penance were Elizabeth's delight as a young woman, but her austerity had nothing crude or harsh about it. Elizabeth was even gentle towards others and filled with cordial charity, especially towards the poor and the oppressed. Her accomplishments were lauded in all the courts of Europe, and many a prince's son pleaded for her hand. At a very early age, her father betrothed her to King Denis, King of Portugal. The first years of her married life were happy ones. Her husband loved her, and God blessed the marriage with two sons. While Elizabeth fulfilled her duties as wife and mother, she contrived to find time to devote herself with holy zeal to practices of piety and charity. But ere long, she was visited with a severe trial. Her husband gave himself up to a dissolute life, becoming a scandal to the court and to the country at large, and a great grief to his devout wife. Elizabeth, however, was pained more by the fact that he was offending God than by his unfaithfulness to her. She kept her grieving entirely to herself, complaining to no one but to God himself in persevering prayer. The king never heard her make an unkind remark. Through forbearance and tender love, she endeavored to bring him back to the path of duty and virtue. She increased her penitential practices and her works of charity. She visited the hospitals and public asylums, where she nursed the most disgusting patients. One day she was washing the feet of a sickly lady. When she had washed one foot, the patient refused to extend the other because it was badly eaten by a canker sore, but the saintly queen urged her to comply. Then she carefully washed the ugly wound and lovingly pressed her lips upon it. At that very moment, the wound disappeared. The heroic virtue of his wife and the grace of God finally changed the heart of the king. He begged Elizabeth's forgiveness and returned to the path of righteousness. Thereafter, she was frequently to play a role as peacemaker. Her husband quarreled seriously with his brother over certain estates. Elizabeth offered her brother-in-law an estate out of her own possessions and thus restored peace between the two brothers. Later, her own son Alphonse became ambitious and rose against his father. All his mother's efforts to effect a change of mind in him were in vain. Alphonse, supported by powerful foes of the king, collected an army and was ready for war against his father and the royal army. Then Elizabeth, mounting her charger, rode between the lines of battle and spoke so impressively to her son that he cast himself repentantly at the feet of his father. And in the sight of the two armies, they were reconciled to each other. Not long after King Denis died, Elizabeth then donned the garb of a tertiary and withdrew to a small house near a convent, the Poor Clares, at Coimbra. One other occasion, however, presented itself in which she was to be the peacemaker. Her son was quarreling with the King of Castile, her son-in-law, and war threatened. In spite of her age and the heat of the season, Elizabeth started out on the journey to effect peace between the two kings. Once again, she succeeded in averting war and all its evil consequences, but she became ill, and as a result of exertions of the journey, which caused her to be seized with a high fever. After a holy preparation, she entered into eternal peace on July 4th, 1336. Numerous miracles occurred at her tomb in the Church of the Poor Clares at Coimbra, where the people invoked the intercession of the saintly queen with unlimited confidence. Pope Urban VIII solemnly canonized her in 1625. On making peace. Consider what a beautiful and noble work is that of the peacemaker. It was near and dear to the heart of Saint Elizabeth. In order to bring peace on earth, Christ came down from heaven, and at his birth, the angels sang, "Peace on earth to men of goodwill," Luke 2:14. Our Lord repeatedly wished his disciples peace, and he praised those who foster peace as being blessed. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God," Matthew 5:9. Just before his death, he pleaded for peace and harmony among the Christians of all times. "Holy Father, keep them in your name, whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one, John 17:11. And it is prescribed for the tertiaries that they should preserve peace, and where it has been disrupted, they should make every effort to restore it. Have you made efforts in this regard? 2, consider how detestable it is if people take pleasure in stirring up dissensions and quarrels. Yet how frequently does this happen, even among those who are considered devout? They carry to one person what another has said about him, and then urge him not to tolerate it, often fomenting bitter enmity in this way. If peaceful souls are called children of God, the disturbers of peace surely deserve to be called the children of the devil. If Christ calls the former blessed, no wonder he must curse the latter. The whisperer and the double-tongued is accursed, for he has troubled many who were at peace, Ecclesiasticus 28:15. Have you any need to fear this curse? 3, consider what is required in order to establish peace. Love for the God of peace implies love for the soul of our neighbor, and we must be prepared personally to put up with inconvenience or unpleasantness in order to turn another from his sinful ways. Elizabeth made great temporal sacrifices for this purpose. Of course, we must be prudent, patient, and meek if we hope really to effect a reconciliation. These are the very virtues that made Elizabeth successful in conciliating enemies. We would have greater and more frequent success if we possessed prudence, patience, and meekness, whereas we only increase discord by being violent and angry. A passionate man stirs up strifes. He who is patient appeases those who are stirred up. Proverbs 15:18. Prayer of the Church. Most gracious God, who among other extraordinary graces didst grant St. Elizabeth the particular grace to ally warlike enmities, grant us through her intercession that we may spend our days in eternal peace and hereafter arrive at joys eternal, through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Elizabeth of Portugal, pray for us.